So our text for today includes two parables about the kingdom, the one about the treasure and one about the pearl. I skipped the one about a net. But they all emphasize commitment to the kingdom of heaven here and now, not in some far-off time or place. So about that treasure, we could easily get derailed trying to figure out the legality of who rightfully owns the treasure in the field. But let's just suspend disbelief, or whatever you want to call it, for the sake of this sermon. We can also be thrown off by how we want or expect these short parables to end. We want the treasure in the field to be shared by all. That sounds very gospel-y, right? But that's not how the story goes. In this version, the kingdom is like a treasure that someone found and hid. And then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has to buy that field. And I find that somewhat troubling. The surface message we get from these two parables about the treasure and the pearl is that you need to know what you want, a treasure or a pearl, and seek it out single-mindedly. And then once you've tracked that down, you either hide it or keep it to yourself. It sounds a bit like hoarding to me when you put it that way. But that's what the kingdom of heaven is like when Jesus tells these two parables. I'm going to be honest with you, this aspect of these parables just doesn't make sense to me. And so a few verses later, Jesus asks, "Have you understood all this?" And the disciples answer, "Yes." And if we're being honest, I want to call their bluff. There is no way they get it. At this point in the story, Jesus has spent countless hours speaking to his inner circle in obscure language. He tells five parables in a row, each of which is enough to make your head spin. Yet they claim to understand it all. Jesus asks, "Have you understood all this?" And the disciples answer, "Yes." And I'm not buying it. This kingdom of heaven business is clearly important. Jesus devotes so much time teaching about it to anyone who will listen. He tells us in so many ways that his kingdom is worth spending all of our means on. The Gospels as a whole paint a picture of this alternative universe kingdom of heaven. This universe, this kingdom, is hidden in the midst of our world, and it operates by a logic of love. The costliness of Christianity is often put in terms of a cross. But here, it is the sacrifice of our wealth that is figured. According to these parables, we give up what is less valuable in order to invest in what is most valuable, the kingdom. Grace is free, but discovering God's treasure takes effort. That's why I don't think that the disciples understood what Jesus was saying then and there. But I do know about a group of folks who seem to understand what it meant for them much later. Many of you are probably familiar with Clarence Jordan. He's the former Greek New Testament scholar who wrote the Cotton Patch Gospel and helped found Koinonia Farm down in Americus in the 1940s. He found the phrase kingdom of heaven hard to translate. He preferred to translate it as the God movement. He believed Jesus' teachings about the kingdom of heaven were more about perspiration than inspiration. So he invested a great deal of his perspiration into Koinonia Farm and the God movement. As one pastor tells his story, Jordan and his tiny band of treasure hunters found a gem hidden in the red clay dirt of Georgia. They spent all they had to buy a plot of land that they could farm. The treasure was the beauty of God's beloved community, hidden in an unlikely field of their lives in the segregated South. It was not easily unearthed in that place, but the treasure hunters were compelled by joy to invest all they had in the vision of God's community of dignity and equality. That was not an easy endeavor, participating in this God movement thing. They were ridiculed. They were attacked with acts of violence. Yet, through all the persecution, Jordan found reminders of the hidden treasure and the Pearl of Great Price in his study of the New Testament. His life and teachings called the church to follow the Jesus who shifts our allegiances and who lays claim to the whole of our lives. He and his colleagues were treasure hunters. Amidst the harsh realities of a broken and fearful world, they sought to live within newly aligned allegiance. Amidst the threats and violence, the Koinonia community demonstrated and still demonstrates a different way of living. They do this because they know that hidden in the midst of the realities of the earthly kingdom is another way to be, another path to joy. The kingdom of heaven or the God movement is not about sacrifice, but rather about the joy that arises as we dwell more transparently in the kingdom of divine love and presence. It's also about the transformation of our desires. It's a joy, not a renunciation of liberation or an entry into bondage. That's the thing about finding the treasure or the pearl. It's about the response. The one who found the treasure in his joy went and sold all he had. In his joy. It's the response to the treasure that matters. This joy of discovery can be found in other places in Matthew's gospel account too. The Magi who seek Jesus are overwhelmed with joy when the star leads them to the place where the child is to be found. And the women who discover the empty tomb and learn of Jesus' resurrection from the angel of the Lord leave the tomb with great joy to bring the news to the disciples. Finding the treasure accompanies selling all other possessions. Finding the pearl brings about a release of all other possessions. And releasing all other possessions finds meaning in deeper joy. Unfortunately, we have fallen under the illusion that we know everything there is to know about these kinds of stories, and our own stories for that matter. So let's think about it some more. What is the treasure or pearl that we think is worth selling all we have in order to buy it? What is the treasure of Christ's church? What do we have to give to the world? Is there anything that you can imagine saying, I would give anything to see that? Perhaps we could say that we would give anything to see enemies befriended, racial divisions erased, family squabbles ended, hungry people fed, eroded land restored, and war ended. Would we give anything to see children educated, religious people united, humane programs funded? When we are swept up in the longing for an end to enmity, suffering, and destruction, we may find ourselves giving up everything to experience redemption. When we find others ready to relinquish whatever holds us back from participating in God's movement, we find church. So how do we figure out what treasure is worth it? How do we discover the treasures waiting for us? How do we live out faithfulness in all things? It's far too easy to just get caught up in doing good. We can easily stay busy doing good in God's name. The church sure seems to stay busy doing good, but is that the same thing as being faithful, let alone being faithful with much? Part of being the church, of joining in the God movement, is discerning how to live out that faithfulness and how best to be stewards of the gifts entrusted to us. And then we are called to invest our gifts in the treasure of God's movement, God's kingdom and work in the world. We, as individuals and as a congregation, are richly blessed. And so we ask, how does God call us to be faithful with these generous blessings? You all have been sharing ways you have seen this congregation be a faithful steward of the gifts entrusted to us. You all have shared gifts that once seemed insignificant until offered back to God. I've got to tell you, I have really enjoyed reading the cards you've been contributing. And I want to find a way to share much of what is on them as a way to encourage, inspire, and to express gratitude. But here are a few of the ways that you all have seen St. Andrew's be a faithful steward. With our music program, in caring for creation, by keeping the food pantry open for the needy in the community, through St. Andrew's weekday school, by teaching our children the stories of faith, by sharing space with community groups, and offering pastoral care in times of grief. And here are some of the gifts once presumed insignificant but were hallowed when offered to God. Singing, being a good organizer, being a good listener, making a small financial contribution that makes it possible for another church far, far away to be able to better worship God, and offering a ride to work for someone with disabilities that in turn allowed that person to keep his job. Like I said, I loved reading these cards and seeing this congregation and the gifts that God has given you all through your eyes. And so today I invite you to add a third card to our baskets, green this time, a card with reflections on these and on how we can respond with joy to the treasure that is the kingdom of heaven. Is there some treasure that you can imagine saying it is worth giving up everything that we, the church, have in joy in order to possess? What treasure would that be? Not doctrines, not creeds, not choirs, not preachers, not buildings. The pearl of great price shimmers through Jesus and his redemptive story. Jesus was born on the outside to outsiders. Jesus, who lived by grace for all those left behind from love's embrace. Jesus, who challenged the powers in place and placed himself among the powerless. Jesus, who chose to live by the Spirit that was within him, a holy presence that would not forsake him. Jesus, who was killed by the powers of this world and resurrected by the power of all the world. It is this Jesus who joyfully invites us to give our all to discover the treasures awaiting us in the God movement. This Jesus is the one who calls us to treasure the kingdom, to participate in the kingdom. So on your green note card, write an idea of how you can respond with joy to the treasure that is the kingdom of heaven. Maybe it won't seem so much like an idea as big as what the church should give anything and everything to make happen. But what are your hopes for this congregation? If we are joyfully exhibiting the kingdom of heaven, participating in the God movement here at St. Andrew's, what would you like our little piece of the kingdom to look like? Or to feel like. We are still learning how God can multiply our resources when we understand the relationship between our gifts, the gifts we receive, and the ultimate giver. So allow God to show you that God will be found faithful as we increase our faithfulness and generosity. Jesus invites us to joyfully give our all to discover the treasures awaiting for us in the God movement. So let's discover together. Now let's stand to sing our hymn, Take My Life, and come forward as you are able and when you are ready during the hymn to place your green note card in the baskets up front, or you may place them in the offering plate when it comes by if you need a little more time.